You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, U.S. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, after some hesitation, said yesterday that he would support Republican presumptive nominee Donald Trump. We'll talk with a columnist about what this says about the Republican Party and this presidential race.
First, it's the return of our summer music series, Setlist. As part of our mission here at Central Time to showcase the culture of Wisconsin and our neighbors, we've invited artists from all over the Midwest into the WPR studios for interviews and exclusive musical performances. They'll air every Friday at this time through Labor Day.
From Americana to hip-hop and folk to rock, we'll hear a diverse range of original music made by Midwest artists. We kick off the new season of Setlist today with Madison singer-songwriter Anna Vogelzang. She and her band are recently stopped by our WPR studios to play some songs from her latest album. It's called Hiker. And she talked to us about what it's like to maintain a national music career based here in Wisconsin.
Anna Vogelzang, thank you so much for coming in and performing for us in studio today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's get started by looking back at how you got into music in the first place. How did you get started playing?
I feel like I've been playing music my whole life, which is kind of a cheesy thing to say, but I grew up in a really musical household. My mom is a singer and my dad is a kind of hobbyist musician, and so we just grew up singing, really. My sister and I would both play piano and sang all the time, and then when I turned, I think, like, seventh grade, I asked for a guitar, and then I started writing songs and was in some bands in high school and just kind of kept going and going.
Oh, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And songwriting is a big thing. I understand in 1 year recently you wrote 70 songs through the course of the year.
52. Not quite 70, but yeah. I was part of a project called Real Women, Real Songs, which was 21 women from all over the country. Every week we all received the same prompt, and then we all had to write a song based on that prompt for that week and then make a video of it, and then it went on this, like, a shared YouTube channel. So basically, that was kind of crazy crash course. Like, I was like, oh, I write songs all the time, it'll be fine. And it was a totally different experience than just kind of waiting for the muse and writing when you needed to versus writing as a practice. I kind of had all these self-imposed rules that I didn't realize that I had when I wrote songs. Like, well, I can't use this finger picking pattern because I've already used it, or I can't use this chord progression because, you know, I got really in my own head about what was okay and what wasn't. And it kind of you had to lift the veil for that, because you just otherwise you couldn't create every single week something new. So
I'm curious, what kind of prompts were there each day for these songs?
So they were all kind of like feelings words. And then by the end of the year, we were all getting so sick of all these feelings words that the last, I think, 12 weeks, she assigned each of us to assign a prompt. And so a lot, like, one woman did like bicycle, because we just like really wanted some concrete images.
Well, you mentioned having those 52 songs at the end of this project. How did you pick then what to record?
I mean, when you write 52 songs, they're not all winners. So on the 50th week, the prompt was 50, and my song was just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I just counted to 50, and like over some ukulele. So, you know, I cheated a couple weeks there, but it was actually pretty clear which ones kind of stuck. I would put them in the live set and see if they could hold their own weight, and sometimes they couldn't, and I just kind of dropped them, and then sometimes they could, and then some songs I didn't even do that. Actually, that song we just played, Rains, was a song that when I went in to make this new album, I had sent a bunch of songs to my producer, whose name is Todd Sikafoos, and he had picked out about 8. And then we got into rehearsal, and he was like, hey, how about that one song, Rains? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. What song is that? And he was like, it was in that other folder that you sent me. And they were all songs from the project that I had said, oh, these are maybe possible songs from. So I think there were 10 of those. And he had just picked that one out, and I had thought it was a throwaway song. And I was like, are you sure you want to do that? And he's like, yeah, I want to try it. And we tried it, and now it's, I never would have thought that, you know. And I told him I feel like that's such a gift. I feel like he like gifted me my own song back, which has been really great.
Head strong under the water, under the weight, down in the dark, craving the day, after the monsters, after the prey, morning stars and light is you.
album is called Hiker. Mm-hmm. And I noticed the first track you played for us was Bear. Mm-hmm. So is that the theme here? Some sort of wilderness metaphor for moving through different parts of your life?
There you go. Moving through life. Wilderness metaphor. I mean, that's pretty much it. There's a lot of nature on this record, and it wasn't really intentional when I started. But then once they were grouped together, it was clear. It was like, oh, okay, this is a thing that keeps happening, especially in my songwriting. My 4-year-old niece was listening to the record, the first 2 or 3 songs. She was like, Auntie Anna, did you know that all humans are actually just animals? And I was like, I did know that. That's what this record is about. And then I was like, okay, I win. If my 4-year-old niece like can get the theme.
I also got these images in my head when I said that word hiker right now because of Cheryl Strayed's book, Wild, this woman on the solo journey of self-discovery. Was there any of that in there?
Absolutely. Actually, I've been a fan of hers for a long time, and I was reading Tiny Beautiful Things, which is her Dear Sugar column. I was reading that a lot when I wrote these songs, and so there is definitely some of that in there. And I think, you know, it touches on the solo journey, but then also kind of the journey that we're all taking, you know, finding the things, finding the people and the things and the lifelines that you need to kind of keep moving forward and upward and onward.
Can you give yourself a little life raft, a little launching?
And you've been a one-woman show in a lot of ways, writing your songs, touring, promoting yourself. How do you balance that between, you know, collaborating? We have a band here with you today. Mm-hmm. One feel more natural to you or not?
That's a great question. They both feel natural to me. I mean, I've been doing this by myself for a really long time. And so there are things, like every time I go back on the road with people, I was on tour about a year ago now with my best friend, and she's also a singer-songwriter who does her own thing. And we got in the car and we were both like, whoa, this is totally different because we have to pay attention to each other. But, you know, and then you fall into that and it's comfortable as well. So, I mean, in terms of playing live, these guys with me today are amazing musicians and friends, and I feel really lucky to have them. And so I'm trying to figure out ways that I can kind of bring the album more to life so that it's not just me and a ukulele, but that there are other layers kind of happening as well.
I know somewhere in your career trajectory, you really wanted to go to South by Southwest, and you finally went and had a big experience there. What was that like?
Yeah, I think every year that I've gone, it's gotten better and better. And I think part of it is that it's such, I'm trying to think of a word to say that's not a curse. It's such a mess down there, right? Like, it's so crazy. There are so many people. And so it can be really overwhelming, and it can be really disappointing if you go with expectations of what it is not. But I've kind of lowered my own bar, I think, and then I'm always kind of surprised when I get down there. So this year was really awesome. It was really, really busy. But I played 3 shows, and I got to speak on a panel for Kickstarter about being my own label. So the panel was called Artist as Label. And so I got to kind of be an artist representative talking about my business and how I run that and how you kind of can make all the puzzle pieces fit together. And through both the panel and the shows, I got to meet a bunch of great people that I wouldn't have otherwise met. And then I also really sought out acts that I wanted to see. A lot of them were new bands I'd never seen live. And that was just amazing. You know, just going and seeing shows every night is so fun. Exhausting, but super fun.
Wake me, shake me, love. You're coming for my beeswax.
You mentioned Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And I know Hiker, the new album, was funded by a Kickstarter campaign complete with live fundraising events. Yeah. What was that process like, and what does that open up for you as a musician?
I wouldn't have been able to make this record without the Kickstarter. And this campaign was really magic. I mean, I felt so overwhelmed by some people who showed up out of the woodwork and a lot of people I didn't know backing the record, which was a really amazing feeling. And basically that whole month of the campaign running, I did 2 big events, one here in Madison, and then I did an online concert as well. And both of those kind of brought people into the fold, really. And the one in Madison was really fun because it was a daytime show. So it was people brought their kids, you know, it was like a really fun daytime event. We had breakfast tacos and a coffee set up. It was great. So the record had been made before the Kickstarter, and the Kickstarter really allowed it to be finished. So it covered mastering and getting the records actually printed and a publicist and paying my team and things like that. So it really allowed the record to kind of compete at a level that records that are on labels can compete at. You know, if you can't even get on the field, it's like, it's a really frustrating process, so.
In a hawk circles the silo, and the landscape opens wide, and again.
So you're based in Madison now. How does Wisconsin, and I guess the Midwest in general, feel as a place to launch a music career?
That's a good question. It's great. I mean, I feel like it's kind of split. There's sometimes where I feel like I'm on an island a little bit out here, where it's like, oh, well, everyone's in New York, or oh, everyone's, you know. But at the same time, we're right in the middle. And so if you're thinking about actually touring, it's a great place to be because it's easy to get pretty much anywhere. And then driving wise, a lot of things are on the route. And in terms of community, it's been amazing for me. I feel like Madison especially is a really welcoming community and a really supportive community. So once you're in and you have these people supporting you, they're not going anywhere, and they really come out and support you. Like, I don't know how to say it other than that. It's, and I feel like I'm making a dumb face right now because it's like, it's really amazing. I mean, it's like, I'm so grateful for the people I have in Madison who come to every show or really help make shows like a big deal.
What about the island part of it, though?
The island part, I think, is it's honestly, it only ever comes up when I'm not here. In Texas, especially, you know, I'd be at a party talking to someone. And they're like, oh, and where are you based? It's like, oh, I'm in Wisconsin. And people kind of go, what? Like, there's a quick, like, hmm? And then you say, yeah, I live in Madison. They say, oh, okay. And then oftentimes you have to say, it's about 2 hours from Chicago. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, a lot of people don't even have a context for it. And that's kind of when that comes up. There were quite a few bands from Wisconsin at South by Southwest, but, you know, I ran into the four people from Madison that I knew were in town. Like, I ran into them multiple times at the conference. So it felt like we are small but mighty, you know, that kind of thing.
Snow pulse in the dark, the lights on the shoulder.
So the new album out this year, what's next? What are you looking at for the future?
I have no idea. I'm looking to just keep making it, just keep going. This record, I'm going to be touring this record a lot this year, and then hopefully doing a couple more tours, support tours in the fall. And then I'll probably put myself away in a cabin and try to start writing again at some point because, you know, you got to keep making records.
Anna, thanks again for joining us in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
That was Madison singer-songwriter Anna Vogelzang. You can catch her live June 12th at the Waterfront Festival in Madison.
Setlist Summer Music Series airs every Friday at this time through Labor Day weekend. Support for Setlist comes from Hyde Music. For more about the artists featured on Setlist, including songs and videos of their exclusive performances at our WPR studio, head over to WPR.org/setlist.
Coming up, a look at the growing list of Republican supporters of Donald Trump, including now Wisconsin's own Paul Ryan. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Right now it's time for a check of the latest news. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.